Welcome to Compassion Radio. Friends, if you didn't get a chance to hear the broadcast yesterday, or perhaps you heard an earlier version of the program, we have some sad news to share with you. The longtime president and voice of this radio ministry, Dr. Norm Nelson, passed into eternity on Monday, April 10th at 9:31 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Norm had many health struggles in the last months of his life, but he is now free of pain and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. An open memorial service in Southern California is being planned for later this spring. More details to follow very soon. Please keep Cher, Bram, and all of us at Compassion Radio in your prayers today. Thank you so very much. You can reach us online for updates at CompassionRadio.com or call us at 1-800-868-2478. Norm, we love you. We miss you. And we now rejoice with you. Previously on Compassion Radio.
No, I think the biggest issue is we need to understand that worship is about God. It's not about us. God is the one who initiates it and enables it. It's not an opportunity for us to beat our breasts, sing our songs loudly, scream loudly enough to entreat God to come down eventually. But he actually extends the invitation to us to become complete in our relationship with him, and that's what worship expresses.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Today, we're going to jump back into day two of Bram's conversation with a gentleman who truly exemplifies the mission of investing your time, your talents, and your treasure with your brothers and sisters. And in doing so, he's inspiring others to do the same. Here's Bram.
Back with me again today is Fred Heumann of Music Works International. We started the conversation yesterday about the challenges that the church in Ukraine is facing day by day, and the challenges are mounting. Now, we hear a little bit about it in the news, but not nearly to the depth that Fred has experienced directly with people he knows personally who are affected deeply by what's happening right now. And how those people are bringing the gospel into very troubled places is an amazing story. So we're going to talk more about that today. Fred, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
We left off yesterday talking about what's happening in eastern Ukraine. You mentioned in the previous program that in Ukraine alone, there are 1.2 million displaced people. And I know the UN categorically sticks with the term internally displaced because they haven't crossed international borders to go somewhere.
Right.
But they're facing the same issues. They're being pursued in a hot way by hostile forces or are stuck in the crossfire of opposing forces. And that's what's happening right now in eastern Ukraine. The elected government of Ukraine is facing off against Russian-backed separatists and their Russian sponsors in a hot contest right now for the eastern region of the country. So that many people have been pushed out of the way or running to other places of safety. So tell me what the church and the people that lead these churches in worship and in proclamation are doing to face that crisis.
I can speak to a couple of specific things. I should first mention that those people are displaced, but there are millions who are still in the middle of that, caught in the crossfire, who are living in the middle of a hot conflict. It's rather bizarre. One church, in fact, the church that originally helped do the recording 25-plus years ago, one of the pastors there has planted a church just the other side of the front lines. So the people have a place to come and worship. And he regularly, personally goes down there bringing aid to soldiers, bringing stuff, you know, that would bring them some solace in the middle of a conflict that the government isn't able to provide. Although the army has grown exponentially from what they had before the conflict began.
Is this a pastor who's bringing the message into Russian-speaking and Russian cultural areas?
Well, it's hard to draw a defined line between Russian speaking and Ukrainian speaking. The media has made, thanks to Russian propaganda, has made it out at times to be a linguistic battle or a civil war. It's nothing of the kind.
Okay.
People are functionally bilingual. The question is, which side of the spectrum do they lean toward? That region of Ukraine is primarily Russian speaking.
So the analogy for us would be Portugal going to war with Spain.
Ooh, you know, that I had not thought about that. That's an excellent way to describe it, because the languages are similar, although not identical. And there's a patois that kind of mixes the two together, because people understand it. So
yeah.
The region there is primarily Russian speaking, however. So they would be doing, you know, services and whatever in whatever language would work for the people. So that's one thing.
So you have a pastor friend that is stepping across the front line into what we would consider no man's land, contested area that might flow into Russian held territories for a while, might ebb back toward the Ukrainian side, depending on how the war is going. And they're actually holding services every week right there?
Regularly. They're holding services there. They're bringing supplies down. At one point, he was visiting us here in the States. This was early in the conflict. And I took him around town, going from army surplus place to outfitter place, just trying to find a few tourniquets.
Hmm. Wow.
They didn't even have those supplies yet. Now, that's changing as the conflict's gone on. But no, they're doing that and bringing other supplies and people and training chaplains to help with the army and the situation those guys face. There was no chaplaincy service. So They've been bringing in people from various places, some not far from Southern California, not far from here, people coming in to help train the chaplains to deal with what is a horrific situation. So that's one. The other thing is people, even the seminary that we work with, has been housing displaced peoples, Believers and non-believers,
Just
to be able to take care of them. My friend who's the head of the seminary at one point in his small apartment in Kyiv had, I'll underestimate, 6 or 7 family members who are from that region living with him in a small apartment because they had no place to go. Teachers, pastors are displaced. Families are split apart. Some people can get out, some can't.
They might be displaced just a few miles behind the lines trying to hold fort or get back to their property as soon as possible. And there are others that are scattered all across the nation as well.
Well, my guess is most of them have gone a long way. Lots of people in Kyiv as a result, and people would try to leave the country as well because they're afraid.
Okay, so the hot conflict is there. You're saying that there are believers that are taking the gospel into the war zone as if they're walking out there between opposing forces and bringing Jesus into the midst of the strife.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
That's a pretty powerful image. And to think about equipping your church, you want to buy paper for bulletins or Bibles for the pews and maybe worship books. You don't think about equipping your pantry at the church with tourniquets. But that's the reality for what they're facing. They may have to step in and be serving their own people by saving lives when limbs can't be saved.
And in some places, bringing things that are a little bit more severe in terms of they don't have the ammunition they need or the armor that they need. One thing that's really significant, too, I think important to say, that at the beginning of the conflict, when all hundreds, if not thousands, were gathered in Maidan in the center of Kyiv, as people were there in the middle of the winter, two friends of mine were the ones who placed a prayer tent in the center of Maidan.
I remember seeing the pictures of that, yes.
They were there not preaching and not trying to be ultra-spiritual, but standing alongside everyone there, offering hot borscht, man. When, in Ukrainian winters, there's nothing better than a cup of hot borscht to ward off the chill and be there to pray with people. And in fact, every day in the main platform at Maidan, they invited ministers, whether they were Orthodox, Catholic, Pentecostal, other evangelicals, to stand and to pray. And these guys were some of the few Protestants who were invited to pray. That's one of the things that helped bring the church together more, where non-Orthodox churches would have been considered sects or cults before all of a sudden they realized they're standing with us, they're one of us.
Yeah.
And that's brought together a lot of these leaders. It hasn't torn down all the walls by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. But the point is that for the first time in maybe 1,000 years, the idea of evangelical and traditional coming together as one body to lift up Christ is a big deal, especially in a nation that has such a long history of orthodoxy.
Well, and it's that phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
You know, you realize you're fighting against the same thing.
But not just a friend of convenience. We're finding friends of true eternal significance, that these are people we're going to be spending eternity with.
Absolutely.
So that brings a whole new understanding of where we fit in history. that we are sect, no doubt. We're not the entire church. Some might think the evangelicals are, but we do know that God is alive and well and bringing his powerful vision to people that have been traditionally part of the Catholic or Orthodox backgrounds, and they're discovering that we really are part of a big family.
It's happening on both sides. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not talking about an ecumenicalism as if there's some kind of structural thing that we can enforce from the outside and proclaim suddenly that we're all one in Christ. I'm talking about the organic thing that the Holy Spirit himself is doing in waking people up and warming them to each other so that they can take care of each other in those crises. So we talk about the church being built through persecution. That's true. It also is built by bringing people close together so that God forces us to use our resources and our time wisely to serve the entire body of Christ, not just our own.
I think that's accurate. When you're in a foxhole, you know, relationships change, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, there's been a history of mixed branches of Christian religion within Ukraine, but now more than ever, as things are growing and going, they're beginning to draw together. And it's not done yet, but I pray fervently for it.
Good point there from our guest, Fred Heumann, on today's edition of Compassion Radio.
And this month, we're on a recruiting mission, so to speak. We want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Why? Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Now, if you're already a sustaining partner, thank you. You are the backbone of Compassion Radio. If God has blessed you this year, if he's growing your faith, please consider an extra faith-giving gift this year. Even $10 or $20 more a month would have a profound impact on our vision, plans, and outreach in the next 12 months and the amazing stories of faith that we can bring to you. If you can start or continue this year as a Vision Team monthly partner of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a special inspiring gift, a new CD from the group Selah entitled Unbreakable. This powerful new collection is by one of Christian music's most inspiring gospel trios. They have deep mission roots, and it shows in all they do. Again, this is a special gift for new and returning Compassion Radio Vision Team sustaining partners. Just mention when you call, and we'll send it to you in CD or digital format. Your choice. For a one-time love gift of $15 or more, we also have another wonderful premium. It's a Mother's Day-themed devotional booklet. Get one for yourself and one for your mom or your daughter and daughter-in-law, too. Friends, the time is right and the field is ripe. Join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to the program.
There's been a history of mixed branches of Christian religion within Ukraine, but now more than ever, as things are growing and going, they're beginning to draw together. And it's not done yet, but I pray fervently for it.
Well, let's talk about the kind of foxhole you're going to be stepping into in the next few weeks. When you go this time to Ukraine, what are the new challenges that you haven't addressed yet that you think God's calling you to step into and address now?
Well, I mean, part of it is what I just was referring to. There are still these residual walls between believers. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. You know, people who won't come to this because one person's doing it, or won't go to that because that person went there. It was amazing several years ago, right as this was happening, they had an event called Mission Ukraine, which brought together evangelical leaders from all across the country who said, kind of like Benjamin Franklin's statement at the beginning of our country, gentlemen, we must hang together, or surely we will all hang separately. So they were saying, what can we do? Because we may not have freedom for much longer, which is mind-blowing for me to hear, being an American, and thinking, we're always going to have freedom. They don't think that way. Yeah. They're saying, how can we be effective? So part of my job is to build bridges, tear down walls, because people are so obsessed with this. When they've got a common enemy, they should rather work together against.
Yeah.
My problems are smaller than national. I'm trying to resource the seminary to give them the things that they need. Hmm. They used to have many Russian students. Well, that's changed.
Do you think there's hope for the future in that, that we would see again under the same roof Russians and Ukrainians studying the word together?
Would hope so. I mean, there's been unfortunate barriers where some of the pastors in Russia have refused to believe their Ukrainian brothers, but rather believing the propaganda that the state might bring them. Hmm. So I would love to see that. I would love, maybe it means taking the seminary to them rather than them coming to the seminary.
Precisely.
No, but there's that challenge. And resourcing these guys with what they need. Music seems to be nothing compared to tourniquets, certainly.
Hmm.
But these guys need to learn the skills they can that could help them go to a local church with a guitar or work in a huge congregation, because worship is spiritually formative and it does challenge, grow, and disciple believers.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest challenge financially for what they need. They've seen their money, they've seen the hryvnia go from 8-1 against the U.S. dollar to 25-1
Yikes.
Against the U.S. dollar. So they're operating with a third of the purchasing power they had before. So those kind of challenges and relational.
Okay, before we close today, I would like you, because you know and you're passionate about the specific needs, on our behalf, pray for what God is doing there and pray over the coming event. And we'll pray along with you, Fred, about what God's going to do in the next few weeks in Ukraine.
I'd love to do that. Thank you. Father in heaven, thank you that you know our hearts. You know the needs of your children and that you desire to meet our needs. Lord, first of all, we pray for the nation of Ukraine, for its leaders, that you would give them wisdom. Thank you for strong believers who are part of that government. As individuals, it's tough to stand against the tide of so much endemic corruption, so much established corruption that's been there for decades, if not longer. So give them wisdom and power and strength to speak against it and to create new structures that would support justice and liberty. Lord, I pray for our friends who are pastors of churches, that they would speak your word clearly, mm-hmm. that they would speak the truth, that believers would be awakened from slumber against the reality that they face, that they would continue to be light and salt in society and be able to speak truth to power. Lord, I pray for my friends at Ukrainian Evangelical Theological Seminary and the other training institutions in the country, that they would continue to be committed to your truth, guided by your spirit, and Lord, that you would provide what they need to do the job you've called them to do financially, in resources for teaching, in books, in libraries, in musical resources, in locations and buildings to be able to continue to train your people. Lord, we thank you that you are the Lord over Ukraine. And I pray that as these men and women continue to lead, you would inspire, equip, and provide for them in every possible way. Lord, we ask you to tear down walls that exist between believers, misunderstandings that are there from decades of prejudice. It seems crazy, but Lord, would you do that, that there be brotherhood and sisterhood and the family of God would prevail, that united we would stand against the enemy, would seek to destroy the strategic place you have in your plan for the country of Ukraine. Bless you and thank you that you're able to hear and to do these things, and we unite our hearts together to these dear friends, support them, encourage them, protect them, we ask, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Now, my friend, you've simplified for us the very thing we talked about early on, the power of public prayer. And when we're on the radio like this, this is a forum and a platform in corporate worship. So we come together to agree with you in prayer all across these 9 or 10 time zones in which this program is aired. We're standing with you, friend.
Marvelous.
So Fred Heumann of Music Works International, I, on behalf of our Compassion Radio audience, want to commend you and to commission you to go do your best, do God's best, and bring with you the blessing and the prayers of the body here all across the United States and Canada, that there are people out there that while you're there during those first couple weeks of May are lifting you up. And I pray that God's going to inspire our listeners to remember you during those times. That's my challenge, friends. You've heard what Fred had to say. You've been moved by the prayer he prayed over the people of Ukraine. Maybe you never thought of the country of Ukraine being important to you. It's essential, I think, to God's plan for the Great Commission reaching the entire world, especially through the whole belt of Central Asia that lies right above the old Silk Road. These are critical, critical territories for the future of mankind and for the future of the church at large. So lift them up. These are great opportunities, great times. As Fred said, there may come a time when that freedom is not so free for the people of Ukraine. We should pray, I think, against that closing off.
Amen.
But whether God allows them to be put back under subjugation by a foreign power, or whether he prospers them in their freedom now, either way, that God would continue to build his kingdom and use the people of Ukraine in a powerful and effective way to do that. That's my prayer.
Well, and that's exactly right. Thank you, Bram.
Now, you need to give us a final word here. If you were to sum up the importance of what you're doing now, how God has orchestrated your life and all the previous missions experience and all the organizations you've worked with, Youth for Christ to Campus Crusade to the Continentals to all these different organizations that you've had a profound impact over those years. God's brought all this to now. Sum it up for me. What does this season have for you and Judy?
I think it's a Timothy principle. It's raising up leaders, teaching leaders who will teach others also. That the unique opportunities of understanding culture and walking into foreign cultures, which I take for granted, could be used to relationally build leaders, not just in classrooms, but in terms of helping build structures, encourage believers to boldly use the tools they have to share their faith. I'm getting kind of pastoral in my old age there, Bram.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
And yeah, and wanting to care for people and not just do big projects. And I've done those, and I will continue to do them, but I have a different perspective. And I think there's a father thing that's going on here. Judy is able to come now for the first time.
Wonderful.
Very significant. Pastoring, loving on, marshaling resources, funneling resources. They sent me a note today to bring these books for their library and these instruments, and we've got to raise money to do that and raise people to go. So I'm kind of a conduit. I hope to continue to be that.
Reminds me of the beginning days of the Missionaries back in Nashville in the 80s when Scott Wesley Brown and other folks were organizing the first big shipments of musical material to other countries and equipping the worship leaders of that day.
Same kind of stuff's needed now. Absolutely.
Okay, we'll pray for those things. Folks, I'll put a link to Fred's work and ways to communicate with him in the podcast on the website, so check that out there. Fred, thanks so much again for your time with us here at Compassion Radio. I look forward to hearing a report from you or even spending some time personally with you to hear what God's doing and will have done by that time when we meet again. Thank you again for joining us.
I'd love it. Bless you. Thank you.
This month, we want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Now, if you're already a sustaining partner, thank you. You are the backbone of Compassion Radio. If God has blessed you this year, if he's growing your faith, please consider an extra faith-giving gift this year. Even $10 or $20 more a month would have a profound impact on our vision, plans, and outreach in the next 12 months and the amazing stories of faith that we can bring to you. If you can start or continue this year as a Vision Team monthly partner of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a special inspiring gift, a new CD from the group Selah entitled Unbreakable. This powerful new collection is by one of Christian music's most inspiring gospel trios. They have deep mission roots, and it shows in all they do. Again, this is a special gift for new and returning Compassion Radio Vision Team sustaining partners. Just mention when you call, and we'll send it to you in CD or digital format. Your choice. For a one-time love gift of $15 or more, we also have another wonderful premium. It's a Mother's Day-themed devotional booklet. Get one for yourself and one for your mom, or your daughter and daughter-in-law, too. Friends, the time is right, and the field is ripe.
Hi, I'm Sandy Floria. For the past 20 years, Compassion Radio has been a part of our family in some fashion. You see, when Bram took the position as web developer in 97 and then producer 10 years later, it was never just a job. It was a ministry our family believed in. It wasn't just the statement of faith or even the set of values. It's a compassionate mission. At Compassion Radio, we seek to be the hands and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most, wherever faith costs the most, and then we bring the stories to you. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Those who help the poor honor God." Won't you help us continue this mission? Will you give compassionately? Please contact us today by phone, mail, or online. 800-868-2478. P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859 or CompassionRadio.com. thank you.
Thank you, Sandy, and thanks for sharing a bit of that Floria family history that I wasn't aware of.
Friend, as we wind down for today, this reminder, Compassion Radio is a ministry supported solely by those who receive a blessing from it. So if you've been encouraged today, would you encourage us with your gift of support? It would be so helpful right now. You can reach us by calling toll-free 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online right where you'd expect, CompassionRadio.com. And as we mentioned earlier, if you're blessed by this broadcast, please consider becoming part of our vision team at Compassion Radio. Your monthly partnership is literally what keeps this ministry on the air on your local radio station. Thanks so much for your ongoing prayers and sacrificial gifts. That toll-free number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.